Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, we sounded a little confused. Let's do it one more time. Christ is risen. Very good. Hey, let's take an offering and go home. Man, that was awesome. I mean, hey, everybody says, what you going to preach on? Well, this is my 42nd year as a pastor. I was a youth pastor, you know, down and out for a long time. But I started counting up. I think this is like my 31st Sunday morning resurrection preaching. And then before that, you know, I was doing youth ministry, and we would do all the Easter stories. So I love this, that today's our 28th Sunday as our fellowship has grown, expanded, and shrunk, and all these things over the years. And some of you I've known for a long time, and the church said, yeah, I'm grateful for you. Okay. So I want to kind of start it this way, if I can, as we try to get into text today. In the 3rd century, the people would use this saying right here, and it was very, very powerful to the people in that day, and I think it is to us today. But about the 3rd, well, this was actually before then, but in the 3rd century, somebody started this thing like, maybe you need to tell an icebreaker, maybe you need to tell a joke, maybe you need to tell something. So I found this one, and I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good. There's this guy, and he'd flown in from L.A., and he was absolutely, and that's not Lower Alabama, okay, that was Los Angeles. That's not my joke, but that's about as good as I get. And so he'd flown in, and he'd taken a little nap, and he'd kind of laid his head back in the back of an Uber. Have you ever been in an Uber? Okay, I was in Dallas at a conference a few years ago, and one of those Teslas, and you didn't even hear it. It was so quiet, so I could identify with this guy. But he took a nap, and he was just laying down there. And about 20 minutes later, he woke up, and he leaned up, and he tapped the driver on the shoulder. And when he did that, man, the driver just went nuts, and he swerved off the road, and he almost hit a pole, and he almost clipped another car. And then he got back under control, and he asked me, he says, man, what was that? He said, man, what did he say? Well, he said, I hadn't told you, but this is my first day being an Uber driver, and I've been driving a hearse for the last 30 years. And usually the people I drive, they're always dead. I think I'll save that one. That one pretty good. Okay. So that would get your attention. How many of you always wanted to be a not an Uber driver, but you wanted to be a hearse driver? I did not. You remember those things when we were kids and you'd see somebody like, hey, I got a special deal on a hearse. Well, you can keep that hearse. I don't want to ride around no hearse. That's weird. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep moving today. So as we talk about this, I was just thinking about the whole title, The Game's Not Over. A lot of you love athletics. Some of you hate athletics. Some of you endure athletics. And I'll go ahead and say a congratulatory to all my Alabama fans in the house. There you go. Well, no, we're not asking that about Roll Tide. We're saying praise Jesus. But anyway, man, if people got as excited about Jesus as they do Roll Tide or War Eagle or War, you know, something, man, we'd be awesome. But last night I did stay up and watch them, and congratulations to them. It was awesome. But when I think about that, I think the game's not over. And that's the story of resurrection. But I was thinking, just a week ago, I was watching a game. And matter of fact, throw me a slide up there. I don't know if you saw this game. This was Florida and Colorado. And Don and I were on a date. And I try to be attentive, but I got to be honest with you. I was being attentive, and we were over in this part of the restaurant. And she goes, go ahead. You can walk over here if you want to. And I walked around the corner to see the game. And this game was going on. And they were getting beat when we first got there. And then it got real close. And then look on that score. What does that score say? 100 to 100. I thought, whoa. And then, show me the next clip. Turn it up. Game's over, and all my Gator fans are still crying, okay? But you know, I thought that's a story for this right here. It seemed like it was done. It seems like that Satan was doing a jig, but Jesus had something far greater than staying in that grave forever, didn't he? He got up. He arose. He's risen indeed. It's really the story of Easter. You know, that's who we are as Christ followers, and we invite people to come follow Christ today if they've never done that. But there's all these resurrections that we see in Scripture that I'm going to try to run through some that maybe never seen before. But I do know this. As a Christian, we're resurrection representatives. You know, you represent your company, you represent your brand, you represent your family, you represent a people. We represent the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I look at that, I want you to hear this. You can just fill in some room. Some of you got worship guides when you came in. If not, there might be a few back there. If not, just take your neighbors from them. They'll forgive you later. But the scripture talks about bodily resurrections in the Old and New Testament. And we always major on the one of Jesus because it's the most important. It's the most significant. It's the eternal one of God. But over in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, did you know there's a resurrection there? Listen to what the scripture says. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, and some to everlasting contempt. Both Jesus and Paul affirm that's teachings in the New Testament, all through John and Acts and other letters. But then there's another one, Isaiah, and he refers to a physical resurrection, the great prophet Isaiah. Listen to what he says in 26:19. I love this. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. See, the dead are dust-dwelling sleepers, but resurrection wakes us up. How many of you along a resurrection to wake up? Wait a minute. How many of you along a resurrection to wake up? In the scripture, it talks about they went to sleep. And that's just another word sometimes for death. They slept for a while. There was no movement. But then there came a time. There will come a time that we will get up and we'll never sit again. Well, wait a minute. We will sit, and it's what we call our church, we'll sit at his table. But we, you know, somebody the other day said, you know, I'm just waiting for eternity. He says, I ain't got time to rest in this life. I can do that in all eternity. I got to tell them something. We're going to have a glorified body. Everything's going to be perfect. But I think we're going to have things to do. How many think we're going to have things to do? God's going to have great things for us to do and reign and rule with him. And I look forward to that day. But listen to this. Future body life isn't just a truth to be spoken about, but it's a hope to be sung about. Did Linda and Pat lead us in some songs of hope and victory today? And that's the hope that we have as a follower of Jesus Christ. And God, I love that, but you revive us. You raise us up. It gives us resurrection hope. You see, the pattern of death got disrupted on the third day. See, death looked like it had settled in. When somebody dies, you lose your hope, you lose your joy, you lose your confidant, you lose your friend, you lose your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, a son, daughter, grandparents, grandchildren, best friend, enemy. I don't know, you lose people. And there's just, it's sad, it's darkening, it's a time of despair, it's a time of hopelessness. But not for those that have the resurrection. See, it's a gateway into eternity with a great God, that God will awake us. He awakes us in his presence. He says, you will be satisfied when you awake in my presence. I love that scripture over in the Psalm. So what's the big deal, Pastor, about resurrection? You see, Paul says it's a message of, the cross is a message of foolishness to those who are perishing. They think, why would you submit? Why would you yield? Why would you surrender? Why would you follow this Christ? Because this Christ got up. This Christ has the power of life. This Christ conquered death once and for all. Blessed be his name today. Man, I love that. So here's what I want you to write down this thought today. No resurrection, no salvation. See, salvation, I've taught you over the years, it just means deliverance from the power of sin. So here it is, because we have resurrection, we have salvation. And without that, if Christ just stayed in the grave, had Christ not conquered death as he said he would, then pity us. Then we wasted our time. Then we've been on a bad trip. Then we've been delivered over to death. But there's a passage that I've never preached on that I'm just going to share with you a little bit. Is Romans, if you got the copy of the scriptures, you can turn over there. Romans 4:25. And as you look over there, matter of fact, is it not right there on your teaching guide? Look right there at the very top with me quickly. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. See, he gave his life up. He laid it down for us that we could be saved. See, justification is just a legal change. You go from being guilty to not guilty. How many of you, I don't want to know who's been in prison or who's been in jail or who ought to be in jail, but have you ever been guilty? Well, we're guilty all the time. We fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're all guilty. But it says, but then you get declared not guilty. When somebody says you're not guilty, that's what? That's good news. That's news you can live with. That's news you can take home. That's news that you want to share. You know, the status of the resurrection, it takes people from that point to a new spot. It justifies them. It makes them right with God. I love that. The resurrection of Jesus, it changes the face of death. Death is no longer the same. It'll forever be different because death has no sting. We'll look at that great verse in a minute from the Apostle Paul. And you're saying, well, Pastor, are you ever going to get there today? Well, I might listen to, and I might not. Oh, wait a minute. We fed you chicken last week. This week, you're on your own, okay? All right, here we go. Vic, you should have come last week, man. We ate, man. Hey, did we eat church? Amen. How many plates did you eat, church? Too many. Okay, let's keep going. All right, here we go. No, you didn't. So here it is. So resurrection here. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin and death through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He justifies us. I put in there for you today the message truth, and I want you to try to feel to look at these words. There's some words in red. Look there on your teaching guide with me if you've got one. I love this message truth. The resurrection is the outworking and the proof of our salvation. That word salvation is the key there. Because death is the outworking and the proof of what? Sin. Sin killed Jesus. Sin destroys and cripples and kills us. Sin takes the life and the zeal and the zest and the purpose and the abundant living out of our life. Sin is always good for a season. Don't say amen. Sin is fun for a season. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. And everybody goes, well, I know what he's talking about now, man. I know, man. It's like, you know. But you see, this next slide, I think it's going to come up. But the empty tomb, what it brings sadness. No. The empty tomb, what does it bring? Oh, outrageous. Over the top. Overflowing. My friend, I got to allude to him over there. Dr. Sonati's with us. We play pickleball together. And I got to tell you, we love to play pickleball. And because he's a lot better than I am, I like to play on his team. And he has a real high vertical jump. He really does. He's not real tall in stature, but the man can jump. And we win a lot of games together. And when we win, we don't go, oh, that was pitiful. Man, we've been known to dance. We've been known to hug. We've been known to embrace. We do something good. When I do something good, he gets excited because that don't happen a lot, you know. But we celebrate. You see, your basketball team wins. Like right now, all the Alabama fans, they're walking around going, hey, we had the king. King Saban left. But now we got a basketball team. You see, I was thinking about the joke. Everybody used to go, hey, we didn't know we were going to make Auburn a basketball school. And they used to always laugh about that. When Saban came to Alabama and we started losing, they go, y'all, because we got Coach Pearl. I love Coach Pearl. But dadgum, now Alabama can go, we got a football team, but now we got a basketball team. And so they're real joyful today. Now we'll see when they play UConn if they're joyful, okay? And I hope they do well. But that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is the empty tomb. That empty tomb. Death. Boom. Destroyed. Never the same. Some of you are like, you'd like to walk out. I do. I like to walk out to the crowd, see if you're awake. I want to see if you're taking notes. I want to see if you're obeying. You know, all right. Here. I got these points. I never get there. Number one, faith is a resurrection. It's always about moving trust, not making trust. It's moving trust from yourself to the risen Christ. You move trust in your ability to do things, to control things, and that of itself is futile. That of itself accomplishes nothing, but you move your faith to resurrection power. You move it to where you believe in the finished work of the cross. You go where the death and the resurrection of Jesus restores your life. You move to a point where your past and your present and your future gets covered by the blood of Christ, and the resurrection is enough. The resurrection is sufficient for you, and everybody said, see, how many of us today have regrets in life? How many of us have regrets? You don't have to raise your hand. Because somebody would be like, can I raise my feet too? I know, you've messed up that much. We all got regrets. We all got things we wish we hadn't done, hadn't said, hadn't done on people. But you see, the resurrection, it has power, and that power cancels our past. It cancels our present and our future, and it stands for us. It gives us right standing with a holy God. I love that. Look at the second one. Get ready to write. Faith in the resurrection is always about what Jesus did and not just what he said. Now, what the sayings of Jesus are so important. Everybody, even non-Christians, ago, Jesus is the most moral authority, and his truth, his life spoke volumes. But it's not just what he said, as great as it was. It was what he did. It was what he accomplished. It's what he did that no other could do. He conquered death once and for all. He got up one Sunday morning, church. When I got up this morning, I went back. I've been a Christian now 46 years, but I just thought, God, I am so grateful that I received the gift of eternal life in Christ. I'm glad that you got up. I get up. I've got resurrection power. Resurrection power liberates you and me. How many need to be liberated? We all do. You say, well, Pastor, I want to stay stuck. You do not. I want to stay depressed. Pastor, that makes people happy. It does not. I want you to ask yourself, does your phone ring? If you're depressed, you know, people are like, but they want to help you. They want to get you out of that rut. They want to help, and that's what resurrection does. It lets us, it's, you know what the resurrection of Christ is? You write this down. It's the bedrock of hope. It's what you establish your life on. It's the one that can be trusted forever. All right, so we got to keep going here. So just knowing what Jesus taught, just knowing what Jesus did, that's good. But it's not enough. It's having that relationship with Christ, walking with him in a personal way. It's about having faith in Jesus. All right, let's go to the third one. Faith in the resurrection means you let go of your conditions. You let go of those things that control you. Have you ever asked yourself, this is an addictive behavior. This thing controls me. This thing I obsess over. This thing seems to have my attention. It seems to have my best energy. It seems to rob me in life. And here's what I've learned about control. You and I are not in control. Never have been. Never will be. How many of you are trying to control your future? How's that working for you? You say, but Pastor, I'm robust, I'm energetic, I'm strong, I am healthy, I am man. And Helen Reddy said, I am woman, hear me roar. Ha, ha, ha. That ain't working, is it? Right now I got an Achilles problem from playing too much pickleball, and sometimes I'm gimp leg. After I play, I do okay, but then when I sit in the car, it constricts. Zach, you need to fix it, okay? And when it constricts, it hurts. And then I get out of the car, and I walk kind of like this. And Donna says, how old are you? She goes, I thought I was married to a young man. I said, no, I was young when we got married. I'm not young now. I've still got a big heart, still passionate, I'm still energetic. But my body's falling apart. My body groans. Do I have a witness in here today? How many of you, hey, turn to the person next to you. To you and share with them your number one groan. Just share it with them. Share with them what hurts. No, that's not rhetorical. You can turn to the person and say, would you pray for me? It's my bursitis. It's my shoulder. It's my knee. It's my head. It's whatever. And you're saying, man, you crazy, Pastor. I am. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool in this world. So God shows me repeatedly I'm not in control, that he's in charge. So God... I think there's going to be a slide that's going to come up. Is it going to come up? Is there a slide here? No, that's a nice one. That wasn't the one. No. Don't get ahead of me. That's a good one. He did get up. He left something behind, but it wasn't his body. I like that. I like this about control. Lisa Turquoise said this. When we try to take control, we ultimately leave no room for God to be God. See, God is... His ways are higher than ours. We can trust God. He takes control. How many of you have something this morning you know you need to give control of that to God, to the Father? But somehow, and in this service, you might be inspired, you might be motivated, you might be convicted, and you're like, yes. But I know some of you are going to leave here, and all of you hopefully, and you're going to go have a big meal today. And about 3:30 this afternoon, you're going to make your way back over to this fellowship hall, and you're going to come back over here and pick it up. Because you want to control it. It never works when you and I control the situation, does it? When we take control, that means we've turned over the reign of our life to ourselves, not to Jesus. All right, so let's keep going here. I'll give you a verse about this. Psalm 34:4. This is bonus material. I've got to give it to you quickly. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I love that. If fear controls you today, seek the Lord. Turn over your fear to Him. Whatever fear it is, give it to Christ. And we could talk about that all day. Are you exhausted trying to keep things under control? Probably. Number four, go there. Jesus' resurrection displays unimaginable power, inexhaustible power, power beyond this life. And God's power is for you and me today, tomorrow, all the days of our life. It will rest in this Christ. In Ephesians 1:18, the Word of God says this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. We're Easter people. We're people that believe if we'll trust Christ, and God gives us power. So God, give us that power. We can be people that can overcome. We can refocus. We can be confident in our future. How many want to be confident in your future? Oh, how's your portfolio working for you? No, I don't want to split the church. How's the gas pumps working for you? How many? I gotta confess this right now in church. I pull up to the gas pumps in the last week, and it went up 8 cents. And that my first response was not, praise you, Jesus. I think I said something else that I shouldn't have said. It wasn't a cuss word. It wasn't a series of cuss words. It was just, really? That's what we're doing. We're going up. My wife said, but baby, it's spring break. I ain't taking spring break. What's that got to do with my gas pump going up? Okay. Anyway, I know, I don't split the church over gas prices. Okay, you get confident in the future, you get confidence in Christ. Here's what you get empowered with personal power. You can change, you can get a new mindset, you can get renewed thinking when you trust in this resurrection power. Does anybody need a new thought mindset today? We all do, we need it every day. Christ comes to transform us by the renewing of our mind as we fix our minds on Christ Jesus. So God, we're grateful for that. You know, talking about people that bug you and nag you. Did you ever hear the story about the guy? He took his mother-in-law to Israel. And while he was over there, she nagged and complained the entire trip. Too many fish to eat. Beds too hard. No. She just complained and whined and whined. And on that trip, she died. He went over to the funeral home and he talked to the funeral director, and he was over there with him. And he says, let me tell you something. He says, we can send your mother-in-law back for $5,000 back to the United States. He said, or we can keep her here in a holy city. We can keep her here in Israel for $1,000. Do you want to spend $5,000 to send her back, or do you want to pay $1,000 to have her taken care of here? He thought about it for a millisecond. He says, you know, he said, I heard about there was one here one time, and he didn't stay dead. I can't take any chances. I'm going to take her home. That's pretty good. Now, I got to tell you, I loved my mother-in-law. She loved me. I loved her, and we were close. I don't even like mother-in-law jokes, but you'll use that one if you like mother-in-law jokes. But I like that. I ain't take it is good, Charles said, that's good. Okay, don't take any chances. Here's what Tim Keller said. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept it, all that he said. And if he didn't rise from the dead, why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And I will assure you, I can sit here and talk for hours. Somebody said, please don't, I want to go eat. But I will assure you the verification, authenticity, Jesus Christ rose, got up, 500 witnesses saw it, the declarations, the 26,000 documents that declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most truthful thing you're ever going to hear. He got up. That's good. That's pitiful. Let's give Jesus some praise. He got up. There we go. Woo! Now, what you don't know is if you clap, we might stay a little longer. No, no, no. If you don't clap, we might stay a little longer. All right, five. I got too much message. Y'all need to come back next week, but let's keep going. All right, five. Because the resurrection is true, your sins have been forgiven. He connects the resurrection to our justification. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15:17 says. No resurrection means no justification. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But he is an Easter God. And we are a forgiven people in the name of Christ. And he got up for us and he forgives us. And without resurrection, we forget God. Without it, we can forget God. We can forget the church. We can forget everything. We say it's all a lie. But he did get up. And I'm putting all my trust in the one that rose from the dead and conquered death for all time that will come again. Amen. And I pray you will. He's your only hope. Your sins are forgiven in Christ. Death is not the end. Oh, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at this next slide. I think it's going to come up with Thomas. My name's Thomas Keith Waldrop. You know, I always call by my middle name, but if they call me Tommy or Thomas, I don't respond. But Thomas, I can always identify with Thomas here. Thomas was known as the doubting disciple. And he said, oh, no, I won't believe unless I can what? Unless I can put my finger in your side. Unless I can touch you, Jesus, because he wasn't there when he'd come back. And I got to tell you, you got to move from this place. You can't get stuck there in that doubt. You can't get stuck there. Doubt's okay. Doubt will make you ask some great questions. But if you'll begin to study and all the people that I've read over the years, the agnostics and atheists and everything else that tried to deny Jesus Christ, and when they got into a deep pursuit of God, they got nailed every time. Because that's who he is. He's God. He's the God of the living. All right, let's go to six. Christ's resurrection guarantees ours. It guarantees our what? It guarantees that we can have eternal life in the Son of God, those that belong to him. I love what 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Christ's resurrection guarantees eternal hope. Praise be to the Lamb. That is great news. How many of you like when somebody says, I'll give you a guarantee on that? I'll give you a 30-day guarantee. 30 days! Okay, I'll give you 60. Oh, your product's not very good. When you buy a car, you want them to guarantee that thing bumper to bumper for a lot of miles. But you ever notice they got a little clause in there sometimes they go. Whatever comes first, this amount of miles or that many months. In other words, their product's not as good as they told you it was. Have y'all noticed that stuff wears out now? Have you noticed stuff didn't last very long? Oh, my goodness, I'm gonna start a headache. You're going to get upset because I'm going to get up. I'm thinking about stuff right now. My ice maker right now is still in the blink, but let's just keep going. Just write down, pastor's ice maker needs resurrection. He does. Okay, right, here we go. Anybody got a bad ice maker? Anybody? Good. You want to commiserate with me? All right, we'll curse all of them this afternoon. Thank you, George. I got one. I got two. Do I have another? Okay, I hear you. Y'all are crazy. You know what about resurrection? Number seven, because the resurrection is true, all who die in Christ will live forever. You know, one thing about it, even young, healthy children may break bones, have other physical challenges. As we get older, pain sets in, aches, challenges, hearing, seeing challenges, mobility issues, on and on. You know what I taught one time? I did a devotional one morning. I said, aging's not for sissies, and everybody said, I'm telling you, man, it is not fun getting older. But it is fun because I'm one day closer to seeing the appearing of Christ. So here it is, Lord. So our resurrected bodies, Lord, we get to overcome. We sow in corruption, we're raised in incorruption. We sow in dishonor, we're raised in glory. We sow in weakness, we're raised in power. We sow a natural body, we're raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. You are physical, mental, emotional. But what I've come to declare is you are a spiritual being. Thanks be to God. And he makes us alive in him when we put our trust in Christ. Till then, our spirit man is dead. It's devoid. It needs attention. Zach, give me that next slide. It's going to come up. It's just a great slide. Jesus' tomb was empty. And a few days later, all the gospel accounts continue to tell the story of the empty tomb. I love that. And the angel confirms, I read it this morning, I read it every Easter, I read it all the time, he is not here. Oh, let me do it again. He is not here.
He is risen.
Indeed. All right, let's do it again. He is not here.
He is risen indeed.
Man, I'm going to get y'all. We're going to get on the road, man. We got something going here. Y'all good. Y'all come out and cheer us on in pickleball tournaments. We need all your encouragement. All right, number 8. Here we go. The resurrection hasn't ended. It's still going on in your life and mine. We have the opportunity to participate in it. It's the next slide. We participate in it by the life we live in the name and the authority and the power of Christ. See, the resurrection is the future, but the resurrection is for today. I pray that today you tap into. I pray that today you embrace. I pray that today you encounter the risen power of Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of heaven. The message of the cross transforms us. It's right. It's true. If Christ has not been raised and our faith is futile and you're still in your sins, but Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. And we're representatives of that fact this morning to let other people know that we don't have to remain under the domination and the dominion of sin. I know what it is to live under the domination of sin. And you do too. And it's not inviting. It's not a place you want to stay. And I remember when my sins were forgiven and I found out that Christ invited me into this relationship with Him. So for the last 46 years, I've been inviting others to walk with the Savior, the one that changed me. And you can't argue with my testimony. I know who I was and who I am today. And it's all because of my identity of the one that rose from the grave.
Amen.
It wasn't even good churches and it wasn't even good people and all these other things that had influences. It was the risen Christ that had come to dwell. So, Lord, we're grateful for your presence. There's new life to be had. There's sin to be conquered. So today, I just ask you to reflect about that a minute. Like, Lord, man, I'm here in this service because somehow I've taken control and pastor says I can't have control. It's really God's control. I need to surrender, give it to Him today. And if I give God an opportunity, maybe He can do something I can't do. How many of you think God can do something you can't do? I promise you, He can. He can do a lot more. He'll make you new. He'll make you different. You're saying, well, pastor, if I just pray one of them prayers, well, it starts. It's a relationship. It's a journey. You don't just instantly become mature. That's like going in a weight room and saying, well, I had a picture of a bodybuilder, and man, what happened to my arms? They're not bulking up. You have to keep going back. You have to keep working. You have to keep maturing. You have to keep growing. And the Bible talks about growing in the likeness of Christ. So, Lord, we're grateful for your presence. We know resurrection is essential to our faith today, Lord. And when this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And we become steadfast and immovable in Christ. So the empty tomb brings great joy. I pray that we'll be an Easter people.